Hi, the Mudbrooker here. Today I'm going to be doing a little more cooking on my wood stove, but I'm going to focus more on the operation of the stove than the real cooking. All I'm going to be doing is frying some potatoes. But before we get into that, I would like to thank my patrons on Patreon: Kay's Kissed, Benedict Riggers, Joy Jones, Damian Bamer, Leo, Theodore Engelke, Valentin Tolman, Rudy Valvano, Kiasby, John Wheeler, Sherry Lynn, and CJ. And today, in their honor, I'm going to be drinking a little blackberry brandy. Here's to you guys. Your support is greatly appreciated. Anyway, I'm going to set this down. I'm going to get my camera off the tripod and we'll get into running the wood stove. First things first, I had some help show up over deer hunting season and I got the base of my wood stove turned around and facing the right direction so everything looks like it should in the front. Anyhow, to operate a wood stove, you're going to need a few tools. You'll need a grate shaker. Where'd it go? You'll need a lid lifter. That, of course, is for lifting your lids. There's a lot of different designs for both of these, and these just happen to be the ones I have. You're going to need a poker, fairly small one, because you don't need a great big huge stove poker for this. And you'll need a tool for cleaning out underneath the oven. It's just a little rectangle of metal on the end of a steel rod. The most important part of running a wood stove is, of course, the wood. What I have here is some nice dry oak, but you can use quite a few different species, and each one of them will have different burning properties. Oak burns hot, it burns fairly slow, and it doesn't make a lot of ash, so it's one of the preferred woods for using in a cook stove. I also have this little thing here is three pieces of old scrap plywood that I glued together to use for kind of a chopping block. I've got an old hatchet that I've put a long handle on that's cut off a broken piece of axe handle. And it's nice to have a long handle on it so you can use both hands. And I have a 2-pound dead blow hammer. A dead blow hammer has a soft face and the head is full of lead shot so it doesn't bounce when you hit something and it doesn't mushroom the steel on a hatchet, which can chip off if you're beating on that with a steel hammer. The reason why I need a hammer is because I don't always want to take a real full hard swing and launch pieces of wood that split across the room and hit something. And sometimes there's a bit of a knot in there, and you can use the hammer to drive the hatchet through the wood as a wedge. Now, the reason why I have this here in the first place is because most of the control you have over the heat of your stove is by controlling the fire. And sometimes I'll need to split down a piece a little bit smaller so that I can make it a little faster, a little hotter fire. Now that I've shown you that, I'm going to get my tripod set up again and I'm going to light the stove and get it warming up. Well, actually I lied. I'm not quite ready to put it back on the tripod yet. When you're lighting the stove, you want to open up your damper. That's actually the draft. Get that opened up. Open the draft in the back all the way. You can see some of the iron that I'm working on now. It's in various stages of restoration. And you want to open up the slider in the back so everything is wide open. Now I got a little bit of crumpled up newspaper in there already. Get some wood thrown in there. This is just the same oak that I'm using for my main wood that I just split up small. Get a good batch of that in there. And now I'll put you back on the tripod. Okay, my fire is all laid, and I had a commenter ask me where you can find Strike Anywhere matches. Most of the stick matches you can find nowadays are strike-on box only. But these are available. I found these in a Woodman's grocery store. They are out there. Your best bet for finding them would probably be in a camping supply, you know, a sporting goods store with their camping gear, or a hardware store if you don't have any floating around in the grocery stores in your area. But anyway, got my fire all laid, got everything all opened up, and we're ready to light this. Just light your paper in several places. And let it get going. Now you might notice that when I first light this, you might get a little puff or two of smoke coming out of these seams every now and then until it starts drawing good and it starts getting a good updraft going in the chimney. That's because the top of the stove is nowhere near airtight. And every once in a great while, you can get a stray gust of wind that'll puff smoke back down your chimney and you'll get a little puff of smoke. But normally you don't get smoke leaking past it once it starts drawing good. And since that's nice dry wood, that's going to take right off. I'm going to give that a couple of minutes, come back, we'll feed it a little more, and let the stove heat up good before we start cooking. My kindling is tearing right along, took right off. So what I'm going to do is start feeding this a little bit bigger pieces. These aren't really huge pieces, that one's a fairly good size, but we'll get these guys in there and we'll let them catch. And it's still going to take a few minutes to warm up the stove to where we're ready to start cooking on it. So once everything's hot, I'll be back and we'll do a little bit of cooking. Forgot to mention, when I put the bigger wood in a minute ago, I also closed the draft on the side. Closed the door, but the little slider is still open. I don't need quite that fast of a fire just yet. My first feeding has been burning for a while, and you can see it's burned down some. I'm going to throw a little bigger chunk in there. You see that's about yay big. Like I said, most of your heat control is actually fire control. Probably should have tried this one-handed. There you go. You can control how fast your fire goes by controlling the amount of air going into it. And I'm going to throttle this down a little bit. But a big part of it is what size of wood you use. Small pieces of wood like this will burn up real fast. They'll give you a lot of heat real fast, but they won't last very long. Bigger pieces, like this one, will of course burn slower, but if you have two or three great big pieces in there, you'll actually get a lot less heat because there's not much burning going on. They burn a lot slower, and you don't get the kind of heat you would need for frying or for keeping the oven at a fairly high temperature. So there's a bit of a knack to choosing the wood, and like I said, that's the reason why I keep a hatchet and chopping board handy. So I can split something down if I have mostly bigger pieces sitting here. So I can split something down smaller and get the fire going a little faster. This isn't a very big fire, so you are going to have to be feeding it pretty often. So once you get things warmed up good and you want to try and maintain something, you'll need a couple of bigger pieces, a couple of smaller pieces, depending on what you're doing. It takes a little while to learn how to do that. I'm also going to damper my back down a little bit. That will slow down the draft so that the heat stays in the stove longer. And once I'm just about ready to cook, I'll do it right now in fact, I'll close my slider about halfway. If you have the slider wide open, the heat will go directly from the fire up the chimney. When you close the slider, it keeps the heat trapped inside the stove and it goes down around the oven and out the back. And if you're using a bunch of pans like I'm going to be doing here, I'll show you more about them in a minute, if you want to get more area hotter on top of the stove, you'll want to close your slider down a bit. Anyway, we're getting pretty warmed up here. There's 507 degrees there. And over here we are, almost 600, 600 even. But over here, things are going to be a lot cooler. That's 300, 297. And that pan itself, that's about 200, 185. And this should be a lot cooler, because it's right on the corner, as far from the fire as you can be, at 147. Anyway, I just seasoned these pans, and they need to be used for the first time, because just seasoning them, they're not going to be very non-stick until you get a little bit of use on them. This is a number 5 unmarked Wagnerware pan. I can tell it's a Wagner by the style, the overall style of the pan. And hopefully you can see that area there and that little spot there where the logo and the catalog number were filled in. This one here is a marked Wagnerware, so that's easy to tell what that is. This other one is, I think, an unmarked Griswold. Fairly sure, but not completely positive. It has big, real well-defined pore spouts on it, and it kind of looks like a Griswold overall, but the real telltale sign is the design of that number. That's the style number that Griswold used pretty much throughout their history when they marked skillets with a size number on the handle. So like I said, I'm pretty sure that's an unmarked Griswold. Pretty much all manufacturers made unmarked pans for sale in, you know, things like discount catalogs, Montgomery Ward, Sears, or through Woolworth, stores like that. They were a little cheaper. A lot of times they used older patterns that were getting worn out. They just filled in the logos. The pans came out a little bit rougher, but they're still good, high-quality pans, so they could sell them a little bit cheaper. Anyhow, I'm going to let the stove warm up just a little while longer, then we'll come back, put these guys to use, and get them broke in. All right, my fire is where I want it to be. I think I'm ready to start cooking some potatoes. Like I said, these have just been seasoned, and in my opinion, the best thing to cook in a pan right after you've seasoned it for the first time is potatoes, because the starch, they'll shed little bits of starch, which will help hugely in the seasoning process. What I want to do is give these a good bit of clarified butter in each of them. I don't want to quite deep fry those potatoes, but I do want them to have a generous amount of oil in there. Get that melted. I guess those might not have been quite as hot as I thought they were. But we'll get these guys melting along. Put in here. Like I said, I'll be pretty generous with these. And I forgot my salt and pepper. So I'm going to have to go grab that quick while these are heating up. And I'm back. It takes a bit of practice to cook on a stove. Ooh, that's getting hot already. You have to watch things. You saw that pan in the back there was starting to smoke a little bit. And so is this one here. You got to really keep an eye on things, because you can't simply turn the heat up and down like you can on a regular stove. Like I said, I prefer potatoes, and I slice them lengthwise because they'll cover the pan better. Not quite as much monkeying around with a whole bunch of little pieces. as you can see, I slopped a little bit of butter on my, see, this one here isn't hot enough. So what I'll do is I'll take this guy, I'll put him back there for right now, and that'll get him toasting along pretty quick. And one more little piece. Oop, almost forgot this guy over here. Fire! Fire! You gotta be a little more careful with these than what I'm being. But that little bit of oil that gets slopped on the stove will help to season the top of the cook stove. Might not have been the best idea to try three of these at once, but I like to live dangerously. Now these will stick a little bit the very first time, and they're probably not browned quite enough to be messing with them anyway. But this will season these pans up nicely. A little pepper. Salt. And hopefully you can see this. You see this one here seems to be going a bit hotter than the other ones. Move them around a bit to wherever the heat is the greatest. There's going to be more heat right over the fire and right here. And if I want to, really blast things along a bit. Set that down. I can open one of them small eyes, put him right directly over the fire. Alrighty, I'll be back in a little bit, get these cooked up some, and I'll show you what we end up with. Okay, I got everything flipped over the first time. When I'm breaking in a new pan with potatoes, I like to scrub them around in the bottom of the pan a little bit, because that helps to really get a little bit of that starch worked in. Here needs a little bit more oil, but these will be done in a little bit and we'll have us some potatoes. If you're very sharp-eyed, you may notice that I've moved these pans around a bit. Now some of these are done, so I'll get them out. Oops, that was a little bit more done than I need them to be. You'll notice I moved the pans around a bit. That's because I'm looking for the hotter spots. For pans that don't, that need a little bit more heat. And I'm looking to cool off some of the pans that are getting a bit too warm, like this one here was. I'm going to give this guy a little bit more, whoops, drop that on the floor, but the dog will get it. Put a little bit more clarified butter in there. And I got some more potatoes that need to be fried. So I will be back once I've got everything all fried up. And we'll wrap this video up. I'm not quite done with my potatoes yet, but I can feel that my fire is slowing down a bit. Just standing here, I can tell by the heat coming off of it, and I can see that things aren't frying quite as quick as they were a little while ago. So I'm going to throw, I'll be done here in a minute, so I'm just going to throw one more little piece of wood in here to kind of speed things along. And on top of what's already in there, that should get me through. It's a little bit trickier juggling three pans at once than it would be frying with just one. I think this guy's getting a little bit too warm. But it's the same principle. You have to know where your hottest part of your stove is, and you got to keep an eye on everything. You can't just walk away from this. You have to just watch what everything is doing. Get that flipped over. Come on, you. You just have to keep an eye on everything, really. It helps if you already know how to cook a bit before you go messing around with a wood cook stove. But if you keep everything under control and get it to flip over, what the hell with you? And you move things around, you should be able to do pretty good on a cook stove on your own. Anyway, I'm going to finish these up. and then I'm going to eat. And in the meantime, I hope you all enjoy the video.